The search for affordable four-strokes leads experimenters back to snowmobiles. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. The idea of adapting snowmobile engines for use in ultralights and light sport aircraft is not new. Well before Rotax introduced the aviation version of the 503 two-stroke, aircraft builders had already been pulling them out of Ski-Doos. The trend faded as purpose-built aviation versions of these engines became readily available, which made them more palatable for OEMs. But over the years, prices for the most successful of these engines have risen to the point where a new 912 costs as much as a new car. OEMs who need a reliable supply chain and warranty support have little choice but to pay the price. But for experimenters willing to wrestle with their own R&D, a new option has emerged in the 80 to 150 horsepower class, a new breed of high-tech four-strokes used in snowmobiles and personal watercraft. The big engineering challenge is mounting these engines to an airframe and adapting the high RPM output to a reduction drive, but there have been some recent breakthroughs. Ernie Boyette is a longtime gyroplane builder who has adapted a Yamaha four-cylinder snowmobile engine to one of his Dominator tandem gyroplanes. He had the machine on display last week at PRA 2010 at Mentone, Indiana, and told us more. Ernie, before we talk about the Yamanator that you've brought here to Mentone, tell us a little bit about the background of Rotor Flight Dynamics and what you set out to do as a company.
Well, gyroplanes have been my hobby since 1971. I got out of the Army with no job. I was in Army Aviation. I was a crew chief on a Huey, and I got out of the Army in 71, a son on the way, no job, and still wanted to fly. Discovered a Benson dealer just went in business, befriended him. He crashed on the first flight, didn't hurt him, and I bought everything he had, 10 cents on the dollar. Flew the Benson, decided there was some improvements could be made, and I kept improving through the years. In about 6 or 8 years, I put a bigger engine, which dictated I need bigger rotor blades. There weren't any, so I educated myself on rotor blades and started building them. And as time went on, I had people wanted the blades, and I, long story short, 25 years later, I got six customers that were willing to gamble on me building the blades, where they worked or not. They put up the money, we built the blades, and here we are 22 years later and over 2,000 sets of blades, and people are happy with them.
All right, now the machine itself, you talked about improving on Benson's basic design. A lot of people who tried to do that wound up with configurations that were not safe. You've kind of become known for the high stance of your machines and the arrangement of the thrust line.
Yes. We loosely call that centerline thrust. There's nothing new. The Wright brothers had it on the first aircraft. But as the Benson gyros became mutated with bigger engines with the advent of the Rotax engine, bigger propeller. Bigger propeller meant that you had to raise the engine up. Now the thrust line was no longer where it used to be, but the seat was. It kept getting further and further away, and they become more and more unstable. There was a particular brand of gyro that was extremely popular during the 80s that had this problem, and none of us knew what the problem was, but they were having instability problems that were causing accidents. I have a good friend named Chuck Beatty, which is probably the foremost authority on auto gyros in the world, unbeknownst to most people, and I've known him for 40 years. And with his help and tutelage, we finally discovered what the problem was, and this type of stance was a solution, where you raise the aircraft up and put it in front of the propeller, and now there was an instability problem. And then by putting big tail feathers on the back, like an arrow, it goes straighter. It's real simple stuff. It's nothing new, but it just seemed like it was a new revelation at the time.
This machine, you call it the Yamanator, and I get the joke. It's a Yamaha engine on a Dominator gyroplane.
There's a lot of anators. We have one over here we call a Carlinator. Anything that has a high stance is something other nator.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about the engine in particular, because snowmobile engines being used on small experimental aircraft has a rich heritage. Rotax developed some of their early snowmobile engines into actual aircraft engines. You're back at kind of the early stage of being an experimenter with engines, with one that hasn't been designed for aircraft use. Why is this the case?
Because there are no other engines available, and Rotax, having owned the market, has, in my opinion, gotten to the point where they're gouging people for the price. They have a 503 engine, a 60s technology. It should be, the first one I bought, I paid $875 for. They're over $5,000 for basically the same engine. That's just not right.
Tell us what had to be done to this engine to make it usable on an aircraft, because in the snowmobiles, they have a whole different way of coupling the power output, and they run at different RPMs than what you need a prop to.
Well, as you're aware of, there was a man out in Colorado that developed the three-cylinder, and I got talking to him and was made aware of the four-cylinder fuel-injected engine, and I decided that's what I wanted, and I researched it through the blogs on snowmobiles for its reputation of dependability and reliability, and found it had an exemplary reputation, so I bought one. And then I have a friend and associate in New Zealand that designs and builds reduction drives, which I've worked with for years. I sent the engine to him, told him what I wanted, he built it. And it was quite the ordeal to build. And then we had to build a very unique engine mount to hold it because the engine has pads that are in different locations on it. And we still wanted to get the thrust of the engine, the center of mass and everything all in about the same place. Did that, and then the wiring was the nightmare. It had, on a snowmobile, it has so many sensors with that computer. It's just unbelievable. And we had to find ways of tricking the sensors that we no longer use or tricking the computer into believing there's something still there. That took almost 7 months. And then when I finally figured it out, the computer died. So I bought a new computer and got it running. And then it got to the point where I could start it. And it would run as long as I held the start circuit on. When I let the start circuit off, it would quit running. And for 3 months, everyone that I could contact in the world could not figure this problem out. And it's incredibly simple. The solenoid had to be turned, the starter solenoid had to be turned around 180 degrees, and the wires put on the other side. On all solenoids, on all cars, there is no left and right or positive, negative. But on this one, there is. And there's nothing in the factory paperwork telling you that, because on the sled, it fits into a cavity that'll only fit one way. You can't put it in. It's stupid-proof on the sled. But I proved it wasn't stupid-proof.
Enough about the conversion process. How does she fly? More with Ernie Boyette from Mentone in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD Nexrad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.foreflight.com. ForeFlight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamond.com. Air.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Today, you're hearing my conversation with Ernie Boyette of Rotor Flight Dynamics from PRA 2010 at Mentone last week. And we're talking about a 150 horsepower Yamaha snowmobile conversion on a Dominator two-place gyro that probably weighs about 600 pounds. Well, let's talk about flying this thing now. You've had a chance to, you were very careful to have a disciplined regimen of testing out the redrive on the engine and everything else, and you've only recently opened it up to full power. How does this thing fly? Your machines are fairly light.
In the two-place world, yes, they are. By design and by desire and the selection of engines, I have used Subarus on two-place machines and built the heavy light machines, not like the heavy heavies, but this one, in testing it, I was very apprehensive about the drive because the manufacturer was very apprehensive about the final gear. He said all the numbers said I had over a 3-to-1 safety margin, but in the past, sometimes numbers say one thing, reality says another.
Well, how does it fly?
It's exceeded my expectations as a single place, and I've just started carrying weight, people weight. I've put sandbags in it down in Florida, but I actually started carrying people weight in, and it's getting there. I believe it's going to be exactly what I want, but I'm only taking little incremental tests, very little tiny bites at a time, and then come back and digest it. I've been at this for 39 years, and I'm still here, so I want to be here the next year.
Well, I have to say that any place, especially in the eastern U.S., where you show up at a gyroplane event, you see a lot of your machines, and there has to be a reason. Thanks for giving us some detail on this one, and keep doing it.
I hope everybody likes them.
Ernie Boyette's company is called Rotor Flight Dynamics and is located in Florida. To find out more about his Dominator gyroplanes or Dragon Wings rotors, visit www.rotorflightdynamicsinc.com. www.thedataflight.com. In the data field, which accompanies this podcast on our website, I've included an FMI link to extensive documentation of the original three-cylinder Yamaha conversion in Colorado that Ernie mentioned. That 120-horsepower carbureted version has now been flown in everything from small fixed wings to helicopters. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.